been privileged to be traveling a lot with this next gentleman. He's one of the original blues men, and there ain't many of them left. So please welcome Mr. Little Sammy Davis to the stage.
All right, to ramble at the rhyme in there, Fannie Mae, and it's a particular album come out in 2011. All right, we've got different news here today. Oh, and it looked like it didn't show up. Of course. But anyways, maybe we can play it here. We'll see what happens. And let's give it a whirl.
And Ankorva Coleman, Syrian peace talks have opened again in Geneva, but today's meeting was limited. The Syrian opposition met with the UN envoy mediating the talks, but it's not clear if they'll meet with the Syrian government delegation, as NPR's Alice Fordham reports.
Opposition spokesman Louis Safi said that the preliminary talks had focused on calls for the regime to end violence. He cited aerial bombing campaigns and accused soldiers of violating a ceasefire in the city of Homs, killing civilians. The regime claims to participate in Geneva for a peaceful solution, but at the same time it is stepping up violence, he said. The opposition has submitted a long report documenting violations of ceasefires and other abuses. In peace talks last month, just getting the two delegations into the same room was considered an achievement. It's not clear that will happen this time. Mr. Serfi did not confirm that the two delegations would sit down together. He said senior regime officials did not show up to the meetings in a first round of talks last month. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Geneva.
It's day four of the Winter Olympics in Sochi, and Norway is leading the medal count with seven. Most of these have been won in cross-country events. NPR's Robert Smith has a preview of today's Olympic events.
The skiers hit the bumps today in Sochi. It's the men's moguls competition at the Rosa Hooter Extreme Park. The top contenders are Canadian, including the 2010 gold medalist Alexandra Bilodeau. If that's not fast enough for you, the women take to the luge track. The course is a long one with some uphill sections, so look for the person who has the best starting time. The women's hockey tournament continues today. The men don't start until next week. Finally, if you are Canadian, take the day off of work. The curling tournament starts today. Those crazy pants-wearing athletes will be sweeping the ice and curling the rock well into next week. Robert Smith, NPR News, Sochi.
North Carolina officials say a toxic coal ash spill into the Dan River from a Duke Energy power plant has been stopped. They say the local drinking water has not been contaminated. But as Paul Brown reports, skeptics remain.
It's taken nearly a week to stop the spill through a storm water pipe located below a coal ash pond. Workers have plugged the pipe, and officials claim tap water in the area is safe to drink. But environmentalists say they don't believe it, and they point to what they call lax regulation of the state's power industry. A North Carolina environmental spokesman says high levels of arsenic, aluminum, copper, and iron, which have been measured in the river, are a cause for concern. The Dan River provides drinking water and is a tourist attraction in northwest North Carolina and southwest Virginia. For NPR News, I'm Paul Brown in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
The Pacific Northwest is digging out from a weekend storm that poured snow and freezing rain on several states. The National Weather Service says California got a lot of rain, but not enough to stop the drought. Meanwhile, the service is cautioning residents of the South to watch for a new wintry storm. This is NPR. Great Britain got the wettest January that it has ever seen and has since been hit by severe flooding. Over the weekend, new storms triggered high water that cut vital railroad lines linking southwest Britain to the rest of the country. The British military is now helping build flood defenses and helping people to evacuate. The British government is getting criticism for failing to dredge rivers in low-lying parts of the country where farmland is now underwater. New data to be released this week is expected to show that more people are quitting their jobs. That's a good sign for the economy, as NPR's Zoe Chase explains for Planet Money.
Here's what's going on when a guy quits his job. A, he thinks he can get a better one. B, it creates a job opening that someone else can get. And C, he'll probably make more money at his next gig. All those things are good signs about the labor market. 2.4 million people quit in November. That's the highest since the economic recovery began. Economists polled by the Wall Street Journal predict a quitting increase for December. For the labor market to get really healthy, though, you'll look for an uptick in the hiring to go along with all the quitting. And hiring is still slow. Just 113,000 new jobs added in December. Zoe Chase, NPR News.
A new survey finds the average cost of a gallon of regular gas is a little lower. The Lundberg survey says of the stations it checked, gas was 2 cents lower to a national average of $3.29 per gallon. Diesel prices, however, are up 6 cents to $3.95 per gallon. The survey says the most expensive gas was in Billings, Montana, the least in San Diego. This is NPR.
Support for this podcast comes from Betterment, the online investment manager that uses cutting-edge technology to optimize your returns, save you time, and minimize your taxes.
Satisfy your hunger for full albums with hot chicken and LPs at noon on South Kootenay Red.
Perfumes in the wind. falling, we're doing the things we do. You are acting just like me, I'm acting just like you. Do you remember when you were my friend? That's the way I'd like things, just like way back then. Baby's sleeping, brother's on the run. I am out undoing all the good I've done. If you loved me, tell you what I would do. Wrap the world in silver foil, bring it home.
say, can't you hear me say,
You can tell me one thing, baby. You can tell me one thing, but I know it ain't true. You can tell me one thing, baby. You can tell me one thing, but you know what you're saying ain't true. But it's gonna get you, baby. And a damn thing you can do.
Everybody, we're broadcasting out of South Kootenai Radio, out of the Creston Valley. Beautiful sunny day.
It's been dark for some time now. Lots of stars shining bright now. Northern lights dancing all night. But the season is changing. Daylight's rearranging. And the sun, it feels so nice. Beautiful sun, how you've begun to shine so bright on me. You shine in my eyes, I squint, but I sigh. You feel so good to me. The birds, they sing along to your tune all day long. Turn raven to seed, play a trick on the chief, and steal a little light for me. Seems you've been away so long. Listen, won't you please shine on. Give me some of that.
General Eric Holder is directing Justice Department workers to treat gay marriages equally under federal law. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports it's a major policy shift.
The directive from Attorney General Eric Holder will have many real-life consequences. Same-sex spouses can now cite marital privilege to avoid implicating each other in federal crimes. Those couples can file jointly for U.S. bankruptcy, and surviving spouses can receive federal benefits for fallen police officers. The Attorney General says LGBT rights is the civil rights struggle of our time, and he won't be a bystander to history. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
The nation's top 50 donors gave almost $8 billion to charity last year, a 4% increase over the year before. That's according to a new report from the Chronicle of Philanthropy, as NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
The biggest gift was almost $1 billion from Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan. They made the donation to the Silicon Valley Community Foundation. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg also gave $452 million last year to a range of causes, including the arts, education, and the environment. Nike co-founder Philip Knight and his wife Penelope pledged $500 million for cancer research at the Oregon Health and Science University Foundation. Foundation, although the foundation needs to match the gift with other donations. Analysts say there was a surge in giving by wealthy individuals last year, in part because of the rise in the stock market. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
A heavy winter storm blanketed the Pacific Northwest over the weekend. Snow and freezing rain fell from Washington State down to Northern California. Schools and businesses are closed today because of icy roads. On the East Coast, power companies are still working to restore electricity to people who lost it last Wednesday during an ice storm. Fred Mayer is with Pennsylvania utility PECO and says crews are constantly on the job.
They're working 16-hour shifts in cold weather. I mean, it's dangerous, treacherous conditions out there. There's still tree limbs everywhere. We've barely gotten above freezing this week, so that has not helped with any of the melt-off of anything.
And now the National Weather Service is warning several states in the south of an impending winter storm. Some areas, like Atlanta, paralyzed by wintry weather 2 weeks ago, may see new snow starting tonight. The second round of Syrian peace talks has opened today in Geneva. The first set, sponsored by the UN, ended with little agreement. But representatives of the Syrian government and opposition did sit in the same room at that time. One agreement reached then allowed hundreds of civilians to get out of the besieged Syrian city of Homs. It is held by Syrian rebels, and the city is surrounded by Syrian government troops. You're listening to NPR. Lawyers for a former Naval Academy football player accused of sexually assaulting a female midshipman will be in a courtroom in Washington today. As NPR's Janine Herbst reports, lawyers for Joshua Tate want the case dismissed.
Prosecutors initially charged Tate and two other students with sexually assaulting a female midshipman at an off-campus party in 2012, later dropping the charges against the other two. At today's hearing, Tate's lawyers will argue the political pressure influenced the decision to prosecute him. But last month, the head of the Naval Academy, Vice Admiral Michael Miller, told a judge his decision to move forward with the charges was made in consultation with others in the military justice system. As commander, Miller has broad authority in sexual assault cases, including the ability to bring charges, send a case to trial, and choose the jury pool. President Obama has signed legislation limiting commanders' authority over such cases, but that was signed after this case went to trial. Janine Herbst, NPR News, Washington.
North Korea has again canceled an invitation for a senior U.S. diplomat to visit. It's the second time the invitation was rescinded for a diplomat to come and discuss the plight of imprisoned American Kenneth Bae. He's been held in North Korea for 15 months, sentenced to hard labor for allegedly plotting against the North Korean government. Bae has been in ill health. Voters in Switzerland have approved a measure that limits immigration. The vote was close. 50.3% of voters approved the plan that will introduce quotas for all types of immigrants. 49.7% of voters opposed it. So did the Swiss government. Officials said the decision by voters will harm the country's economy. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.